side. It's there!
Don't think, don't hate, do!
The best team of the modern era.
This is AFL Exchange on afl.com.au.
Here we go for another edition of AFL Exchange. Thanks so much for your company. My name's Matt Thompson. With us, Angus Brayshaw from the Melbourne Football Club.
G'day, fellas. Thanks for having me.
And Cal Toomey from AFL.com.au. Hi, Cal.
G'day, Matthew, and also Angus. How are you guys? Good to be back. 2 weeks in a row for me.
Yeah, our team.
Yeah, it is.
Our team's won on the weekend.
Yes, we all had wins, which is
apart
good.
From Cal's.
Mine didn't. Oh. Bombers are going beautifully, though, aren't they? Just got all the answers down there and how to play good footy and exciting footy and get the most out of all their good players.
Did you watch the Richmond Freo game because your brother was playing?
Nah, so I was out on the field warming up and they had the rolling sort
of
updates.
Of course, yeah.
So I was sort of keeping a keen eye on the score and they obviously got rolled pretty hard in the last quarter. So I didn't see that coming, but there was, I sort of rewatched the game. He had a few good tackles, did a few good things, and certainly wasn't the worst player out there. So he's doing all right.
Is that a bit distracting when you know your brother's playing and you're getting ready to play yourself?
Well, as long as I play better than him, because he got high draft picks, so I've got to have something over him.
I was actually at the game on Sunday that you played in. I worked that game, and I was there early. So we get there about an hour and a half before the game starts, and we have to be there for the final teams if any changes come through. And so we had to see and watch everyone warm up, and I did see you. Run over towards the TV cameras at one point and jump behind Hamish McLaughlin and Tim Watson and these guys and just managed to get your head on TV so it wasn't necessary.
So my ball spilled out. Hunty kicks it for God knows what reason. Likes to kick barrels out from full back, part of his warm-up. And he kicks barrels, kicked a goal from 80 metres or whatever it was against Adelaide. So obviously, for good reason, but this one's skewed off and sort of landed behind the boys on the boundary line doing their... live cross, and I was sort of waving at this bloke. It must have been like a camera guy, and he's like, "Yeah, come over," like they're not on TV. And I'm looking at the screen, and it's up in the war room or wherever it was. So I've sort of scooted in, and then it's cut back, like, and I'm just in the middle, like a deer in headlights, and I'm just standing there, and made a bit of a fool of myself, but picked the ball up, got the clean ground ball, and got the hell out of
there. They're in your space.
Yeah, true.
They are in your space, and it was your space on Sunday. We got to congratulate you, mate, because it was. Just on the walk-in, I said, do you think that was the best game you played of your career at the Demons? And you said, yeah, definitely. So you had 32 touches, kicked a goal.
Yeah.
We're on fire early. What's it feel like when you're playing like that? And I guess it seemed like you took a fair bit of confidence out of the week before.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's just one of those ones where I would, kick it to someone or handball it and wouldn't even want it back. And it just felt like it was probably just coming my way.
First quarter, you had 12.
Yeah, and I had one in the middle of the ground where I tried to bounce it and just absolutely fumbled it. So it could have been, who knows what it could have been. But it was, it felt really good. I've been doing, obviously missed out. Was disappointed to miss out at the start of the year and been putting a fair bit of work in. And felt like even, before last week, I was sort of building, played a good half and then another good half. And then against Essendon, I felt like I sort of strung four quarters together. And then obviously against St Kilda, I felt like I had a really good four-quarter performance. And we got the win, which is also terrific.
Is it incumbent on you and more so at the front of your mind because you missed out on a few games at the start of the year not to kind of take it for granted when you have a string of couple of good games together now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think watching from the sidelines, knowing that I think Melbourne's on the right path. We're going to have a really good year this year and I really want to be a part of it. And sitting on the sidelines isn't where I want to be. So I think it certainly puts a bit of pressure on and I'm certainly not going to just sit back and just take this one game and say how good's that and lay off. I think I've, as I said, been putting a fair bit of work in. I think I've figured out what I have to do each week to play games like that. So hopefully that's the new standard and I'm sure it will be. So that's what have we got left? 16 rounds and then finals. Hopefully I can continue that sort of stuff and build off it and not sort of sit on it.
I'm not just sucking up because you're here, but I've been watching you play for 5 years now and it seemed like that game was you back to how you played your best footy back in sort of under-18s footy. There's a moment, I think, in the first or second quarter where you had to go back with the flight of the ball. You took a one-handed grab and you knew there was traffic coming.
Yep.
You could have easily flinched and you didn't. You took that grab and I actually asked Simon Goodwin about you afterwards and just sort of his general thoughts on your game. And he mentioned that sort of it's been a work in progress given the concussions and the knocks that you've had to actually get you back into that really combative inside midfield role.
Yep.
And now that you're there, they all know that's where you play your best footy, but that's been a bit of time coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was drafted as a midfielder and I think that's probably where I play naturally really well. So I think, it's probably a good comparison because in under-18s, you just you know, play footy and as a midfielder under 18s, you're just, you know, doing a going contest and not thinking about too much else. Whereas, you know, I probably had a few other things to worry about. And yeah, I probably think that game I've just played is, you know, hopefully the standard that I've sort of been playing under 18s, obviously whole different competition, but that's sort of what I was doing. You know, running around and getting a bit of the footy and doing damage with it. So hopefully that's, yeah, as I said, the new standard.
And I must say as well, how's Angus's form just out in the AFL cafeteria?
Tall poppy syndrome, Cal.
So I went just a minute ago, Tomo, you said, oh, he's just in the foyer, so I went and grabbed him, let him in. There was obviously a swipe card process here at AFL House. And there's Angus, feet up on the table, with his Yankees hat backwards.
living the dream.
What a life.
And I did say, look, one good game and you turn your hat backwards.
Yeah, you should see me. When I rock up every week, I've got my shirt tucked in and hat forward. So this is a big change up.
Absolutely.
Hey, speaking of...
Sorry for the stitch up. Look, he's filthy at that
speaking
one.
Speaking of playing up for the cameras, have you spoken to Jesse?
Well, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I think... you know, there's obviously a fair bit said about, certainly on game day, what happened and a bit of commentary, and then that goalpost vision came out and
game changer.
Well, I mean, when you look at that, it's hard to argue against. I mean,
Carlisle should have almost been sighted.
Yeah, I mean, that. He got him, you know, in the net,
hit in the throat. Yeah, like, your throat's a pretty sensitive part of your body. You get hit there, you go down in a bit of shock. Not that I've been in the throat too often.
Do you want to try?
We'll try it after. I'll do it right now. And we'll see. But no, we'll it's off. I mean, to be honest, in the game, I was not really. I didn't see it on the screen. I was pretty gassed for the most part, and saw that there was a free kick paid, and didn't really think much of it. And then he missed the goal, and then so I've gone from resetting at the midfield stoppage to find my man numbering off. So the whole incident really passed over my head and I didn't think too much of it until I sort of had a look at social media. So a few things were buzzing around after the game and a lot of people saying a lot of different things, and I think, you know, the sort of bloke Jesse is, I don't think he'd milk anything or do anything like that. And I mean, you look at the vision and all the people who've said stuff against him, I think, have got to eat their humble pie, because Carlisle got him real flush.
It just goes to show, though, how one angle doesn't tell the full story. And, you know...
It was the smoking gun, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel terribly sorry for Jesse. Thankfully, I wasn't one of the ones who played in one of the few. But
in some ways, though, you can see why they did, because, you know, the media, in some ways, also, you're only given... the footage that you can see.
I agree, but I think people went too hard too early on this one.
Well, the umpire was...
I thought he's always touched. I always thought, working in the game, I did always think that he was touched. And, you know, if you're touched to a sort of some degree, it sort of eliminates the staging element, doesn't it? I mean, you can...
Well, that's exactly what they say, there was enough force.
You can exaggerate. Everyone, you know, Joel Selwood exaggerates the head thing every week.
But how are we meant to judge that? I mean, and eradicate that from now. Of course, we don't want to get to the point where it's adding soccer and diving and stuff.
Thing is, Jesse Hogan's a 195-centimetre, 95-kilo forward. If the same force was applied to Charlie Sparko, well, for a start, he probably wouldn't have even got his throat.
He would have put the top of his head.
Well, I know we're moving on quite fast here, and we'll go back to some of the things we've skipped on the rundown, but speaking of brute force, we might as well deal with it now. People listening, you might know the result from the tribunal, but Nick Natanui... So it's fair to say I was shocked that Nick Natanui was booked for this tackle.
And to the listeners out there, go and have a look at the verdict. We'll do a show on Monday afternoons. Matt does with Michael Christian, the match review.
Just an interview
officer.
With Chris O.
Yeah. And have a look at Matt's facial expression.
When you were twitching.
No, he was just in absolute... I'm not sure if it was a shock or disgust or disdain at the decision handed down to Nick Natanui, but just if you can pause it on Matt's face, because I've never seen a more disgruntled person.
I just still can't really understand what alternative Nick Nat had. I mean, they're saying, and this might all be a moot point because the tribunal's going to sit, you know, about 6 hours from when we record, but he's saying that he should have rolled him, but that could have caused damage too, in my view. I mean, he's a big bloke, Nick Nat.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I mean, as a bigger bloke, and even, you know, I'm not as big as Nick Knapp, but when you tackle someone, you want to, you know, hit hard and
you want to make him feel it.
Exactly. You tackle, you know, no one tackles to be nice to anyone. So, you know, that's a sort of tough line, and it's unfortunate that it's sort of, you know, he's been hammered, and Carl Amon, schoolmate of mine, he won't mind me saying that he's not the biggest bloke running around. So
it's fair to say.
And it's just unfortunately one of those ones. So it's an interesting one.
I can understand it though.
I know you're the opposite of you. You think he should go.
Yeah, I think it's not the most unfair decision.
Why?
Well, it just seemed like a rough tackle. It was a rough tackle.
But maybe that's a free kick. I don't think he should be missing a week. He's going to miss a game against GWS, a really important game for the Eagles, important game for the competition, because Western Sydney needs to see Nick Nat on the big stage.
The importance of the game should have absolutely no relevance on the decision of the MRO.
No, it shouldn't.
You have suggested, whether or not you're being facetious or not, that the importance of the game has some impact on what they do upstairs. And I don't think that's right.
No, I don't think that's right either.
I think
that's right either, but I think that Nick Nat should be free to play. So hopefully...
Free Nick Nat.
Well, as long as they're consistent about it, because,
How's Nick Nat meant to tackle anyway? He's a big guy.
He did drive him into the ground.
Oh, I disagree.
If that's the precedent, though, then...
And Chris O said in the interview that he pinned his arms, but I didn't see him pinning his arms. At least one of the arms.
I think you're going down the good bloke factor. You're just a Nick Nat fan.
I'm a Nick Nat fan.
Because, you like your good blokes, your Ben Simmons types.
Yeah, but I thought it was a good tackle.
Right. As long as he's consistent with it, I don't mind one way.
Ben hasn't been consistent this week.
That's another topic.
See, he's not wearing the hat. Speaking of hats.
Where is your Philadelphia hat?
He's dropped the hat in recent days after Ben's performances.
They had a winter.
He's about ready to set fire to it, I would have thought, after the performances they've thrown up.
Yeah, two games. Yeah, the game would go far out. This is not an NBA podcast. It's about...
Hey, did you have money on the NBA?
Not today.
Oh. Thank goodness.
You learned your lesson the past couple of games.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to AFL Exchange. You can tweet us at AFL Exchange on Twitter if you'd like to join the conversation at any point and join in the banter that tries to mirror the banter that we have in the office at AFL.com.au.
It does mirror it.
Yeah, similar.
Angus would be a good member of our journalism. Sort
I'm
of
funny.
Class. Yeah, funny sometimes. Tom McDonald, we go back to Sunday's game. He's gone forward. And it's been good for you guys to have him back at the moment. You've actually got sort of four tall targets that you rotate through there. And Goody said after the game he's keen to continue that with Hogan, McDonald, Wiedemann, and then Gorn's been showing a bit of form down there as well. Where do you think he fits in best? Do you see him as a forward now? Do you think he's got to that point where he's a reliable option down there?
Yeah, I think he's obviously kicking goals at the moment and tall. I think the thing with Tom, though, he's super fit and... He even played up on the wing a bit when he came back last week. So I think for Goody, it's just if something's not working or we're down in the game, to have Tom McDonald, you can put him forward and he can kick a couple of goals or up on the wing and he can provide some run and carry or down back. He's obviously spent the most of his career playing down back. So, I just think that he's a real asset to the team and I think he's been playing some really good footy as he's come back and... so wherever he need him, I think he'll be able to, sort of fill a gap. But up forward, certainly he looks like he's really comfortable.
I know when I wasn't on the show a couple of weeks ago, you guys discussed your contract. But he's out of contract, he's free agent. Does that ever get mentioned within sort of the inside the club when you're having a laugh or when an article pops up about him being, a wanted guy? How much of that is actually discussed among players?
Not really. It's just when it's Jake Lever's turn to shout coffee. Everyone loves that from him. But outside of that, contracts, no one really talks about it too much. And
Is it an elephant in the room or is it just one of those awkward things or personal things that you feel like it just doesn't get mentioned?
I don't think it's that awkward. I mean, everyone knows that Tom is a Melbourne person through and through. I mean, how long has he been at the club?
Eight
years. And I don't think anyone's concerned that he's, going to leave. And he's a... loved member of the club and the playing group, and I think he loves the club just as much. And everyone understands the process of going through these contractual sort of things. So it's not like anyone's, panicking or he's not on the outside or anything. It's just we understand it's all part of it. And
just curious in terms of the actual sort of byplay.
Have you ever had any as a former Melbourne great David Schwartz? Have you ever had much to do with him?
I remember in my maybe first or second year, he bantered Jesse Hogan about goal kicking, Hogs hit him back with some. He might have had a 1% better set shot accuracy thing or something like that. So that's outside of that.
But it's funny because he was talking a couple of weeks ago about his loyalty to Melbourne and how he had offers from a WA club and from Collingwood at one point, but he just never genuinely entertained it. I mean, I think the world's probably changed a fair bit from when he played.
Maybe, but I and I can only sort of speak for myself, but I certainly feel like it's almost a romantic idea to play at one club.
And that still exists for you?
100%. And especially considering, I guess, Melbourne, when's the last time I won a flag? 64. And there's a big story behind that all. And just to be a part of that would be, you know, incredibly special. And I think at a certain point, like, there's blokes who really want to buy into that, and that's what will hopefully take us to the next level and get us there eventually, is blokes who are willing to buy into the club. And, you know, they're obviously, you know, blokes will be offered contracts by the teams and stuff, but, you know, what we're trying to build is hopefully worth more than money.
We've seen Andrew Bogut buy into the Sydney Kings.
Mm.
Actually physically buy into them. Now, obviously, he's LeBron's loaded.
Who did LeBron buy into?
Liverpool. Yeah. And made cool $30 million.
I saw that on Facebook the other day.
Sickening.
Obviously, it doesn't quite work in AFL because most of our clubs are membership based. But would it be nice if you could just buy shares?
Would you
in
buy
your
into
club?
Richmond?
Absolutely not.
Not. They've given you a great year last year. One of your greatest years of your life.
I very much enjoyed it.
Who would the celebrity be or person you'd want Richmond to get bought into? Like Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons
should buy into Essendon.
He's an Essendon fan.
Andrew Bogut could buy into Essendon.
Yeah, that's been speculated. That's even been speculated about, hasn't it? Potentially him.
Well, I don't think he's been speculated buying into Essendon.
No, buying a basketball franchise into Essendon. That's been talked about.
That's true.
And what about player salaries? Obviously, in the States, they're public. Are you anti public salary? Do you think we'll get to that point one day?
I'm not sure what the point would be.
What's the point?
Well, exposing. I mean, I'm not fussed one or the other, but some blokes really like privacy, and I can understand that.
Chuck it on. And it's not like AFL players are earning the like mega millions of dollars like an NBA player or an NFL player, where the money is just so absurd that
you could go and say Angus Brayshaw is making 88 grand a week.
It's unattainable.
Yeah.
For anyone who's playing Australian football, and you can see why Ben Simmons is off playing NBA, in the NBA instead of at Essendon. I mean, with all due respect.
No, he could be running around with Christian Petrarca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, unless, you know, if that's what's going to happen, I wouldn't care too much.
I don't think many players will be pushing for it.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's going to come down to that. Let's talk about, we could get real sidetracked there, and we won't because I don't want to get into players association topics on this podcast.
Boring.
We can go and get them. They can go and have their own podcast.
They do probably have one.
I think they probably do.
They probably do have one. And do you reckon, how many listeners will they get?
I'm sure it's incredibly high rating. I'm normally across those kind of numbers, but not across those. Or the very existence of their podcast. Good luck to them. So, what impressed you most over the weekend, boys?
For me, it was West Coast.
West Coast.
I've been really impressed with the Eagles this year. I didn't see it coming. They obviously lost round one to the Swans, and that was sort of buddy-inspired that afternoon. But since then, unbeaten, and just some of their recruiting as well. I think when you recruit well and they all come together, it's sort of the pieces sort of join up pretty easily. And Willy Rioli is a player who's been exciting, overlooked in many drafts, I think.
Well, he was going to be my player that impressed.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right. But Kane Corns was saying on the round so far that he reckons, this is in all seriousness, this isn't me just getting a plug in. Kane reckons that Willy Rioli is the best kick, full stop, in the competition.
I remember watching him at school level and thinking he was a great kick. At that point, he was very overweight for a player who wanted to play AFL footy. Yeah. He actually lost about 15 or 16 kilos last preseason, the preseason before he got drafted. So he's deserved this chance. Jack Redden as well is another one who they're getting the most off now, out of now after a couple of lander years. So, yeah, I'm on the Eagles.
Yeah, absolutely. And Port, I think people expected to be a pretty good opposition. Yeah. And so I think it's...
And they wiped him, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty comprehensive performance from the West Coast.
What about you? Who'd you like?
Well, I had West Coast as well for the same reasons. I think, I think the opposition they've been beating, outside of Buddy kicking however many he kicked and turning it on, they could just as easily have been undefeated. So, they're looking good. And I think a lot of people might not have had them pegged this high early in the season. I think it's a good story.
I'm going to put a different spin on who impressed me. It's two of the losing teams, but nonetheless, there was positives to take out of their losses. One being Gold Coast, who took the Western Bulldogs right down to the wire in Ballarat at Mars Stadium. And I also really enjoyed the Lions' performance against Collingwood. Oh, I kind of feel sorry for the Lions. Like,
don't pity them.
I don't want to pity them, but their facilities are crap, and that always really hurts me. Because imagine
it hurts you.
No, because imagine turning up.
Hey, by the way, can I?
No, wait. Hold off. On
can that. I hold? Can I leave that to the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine turning up to work each day though, and working in a dump.
I wouldn't call it a dump. It's a professional football club. There are worse places to work.
But have you been underground there at the Gabba recently?
I've been
underground there for about 4 years, and then it was rubbish.
The upside down.
It's not a great place. I mean, they're in a dungeon almost.
They improved it a little bit.
They had done a bit of work.
Remember when they had the flood? It was like, you know, the best opportunity for them to
improve. Give it a bit of a paint.
And they got it a little bit better to open up the offices.
But have amazing facilities at Aitken Park. I mean, you must walk in there and think, wow, I'm a professional footballer and I have the best possible gym and everything to train in.
Yeah, well, without having seen Brisbane's facilities myself, it's hard to make comparisons, but...
They're nothing like yours.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll take your word for it. But I reckon that there's a huge bearing on, you know, all that sort of stuff in terms of layout, even like... I remember when I first got to the club, all the coaches were in offices and stuff like that. And you know, now that there's a lot more open and we've made some changes, and I think with the gym and the pool and stuff, the facilities are elite. We're not left wanting for anything. So I think, and if a team didn't have a setup that was conducive to that sort of stuff, then I think it probably would be a competitive disadvantage.
Well, that's why they're off to Springfield, isn't it?
Exactly, and it sounds like they're going to get the money, although we've been trying to confirm that with the government for 2.5 weeks in Queensland. We still haven't been able to get rock bottom the money.
I hope
coming,
they do. It'd be interesting to see if that's a Seaford type move or a Tullamarine type move, because Tullamarine's been an absolute blessing for the Bombers moving.
Is Springfield near the airport as well in Brisbane? Or is it further away?
Not sure, but it's further away from town, obviously, than the Gabba.
Near the beaches?
No, I think it's west.
Okay.
Tomo's a beach man. Yeah. What player impressed you guys?
Well, Willie for me was my nomination.
Really? Angus?
I liked Zorko.
Oh, Zorko's good comeback by him.
Yeah, I think after a tough week, and even dating back to when Bernie Vince played on him and gave him a hard time, I think he's back to some real cracking.
For me, it was Jordy Degoe, one of my favourites from the 2014 draft, probably my favourite from that year. Pick five there.
Yeah, that was a joke. Second favourite. He's a good fella.
Second favourite. No, he's a good fella. Teammate of yours at Vic Metro.
Well, he's welcome to come on the podcast.
He's welcome anytime, Geordie. He's a star. He's got real star quality, doesn't he? And he's a tough matchup, and there's a lot about him that's very exciting. So hopefully he can have the big breakout year from here on.
You're listening to AFL Exchange. Thanks so much for your company. The score review system.
Yeah.
Seriously, like...
You got a bone to pick here. Just wind up and absolutely
let him go. Come on.
I'm going to push my mic away and not say anything for 5 minutes.
In three different sports over the weekend, video review systems caused absolute carnage across the competitions, across the country. I mean, we saw the Melbourne Victory. They shouldn't have won the A-League Grand Final. Saw the Sydney...
You can't say that.
Sorry.
Go on.
The Sydney Swans and North Melbourne game. The Sydney Swans were robbed.
That's sit back now.
Sorry. And there was some controversy in our NRL, which I don't quite understand, but the technicalities of it, but there was more drama there too. So what's wrong with, like, why don't we just get rid of video review in all sport?
So we're back. Is that a rhetorical question? Or do you actually want us to answer that? John Law's over there with your gold mic. look, it's a disaster zone, isn't it, really? It's a little bit embarrassing how this can keep happening. I feel sorry for some of the score review guys sometimes.
Well, I've spoken to a score reviewer today who quit.
Quit?
Quit being a score reviewer. Because
Too stressful. Too much pressure. Mm. We know, obviously, we won't name him, but there's a big call made in the 2016 grand final in the score review from internal score review man who made the right call with the Bulldogs. I can't remember the actual incident, but made the right call, and that was a big decision. But on the weekend, that was an obvious one. It just doesn't make sense how the obvious ones
ran out of time, apparently.
Well, that shouldn't happen. About time. I know the point is, you know, do you want to keep the game moving and everything? You don't want to be bogged
down. At the end of the day, we want the right result. Surely that's the most important thing. Otherwise, get rid of the thing. If the end result is not the right result, the thing doesn't work.
Also, this place has enough money to invest in. I know we hear all about the technology costing too much money, but
seriously.
I guess the actual point is, you know, everyone says, oh, imagine if it happened in grand final. Well, it did.
In the A-League grand final.
Actually, Angus, it's lucky. We're lucky to have Matt here today.
Yeah.
Because after the A-League grand final, Matt was quoted in his other media role. as saying that he felt sick in the guts. Sick in the guts.
No, sick in the stomach.
Same thing. Sick in the guts.
Stick with guts.
Watching, not just about the, not about the failed technology, but watching victory supporters celebrate. What? What?
No, so
yeah,
to clarify, there were victory supporters gloating about how it didn't matter that they won the grand final illegitimately. I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
They should have they should be a little bit more humble.
No.
Because they didn't deserve to win the first place.
What would be a little bit over the top would be, let's say there's Melbourne Storm supporters in 2009 or whatever year it was, they won their flag, and then those supporters gloating about winning because they cheated the salary cap. Now, that would be a little bit sickening. In this case, it's not the victory's fault that the umpiring technology didn't work.
That's true.
It's not their fault at all. It's the bloke in row H who's paid all this money to go up to Newcastle for a weekend. Mm. Get off their back.
So, are you entirely confident in the video review system, Angus, when you're out there?
I mean, look, I honestly don't pay too much mind to it. It usually gives you a pretty good breather.
Well, that's not good either.
Well, no, I mean, it's great for me, but I can understand it as a spectator 100% why it would not be the best sort of minute or couple of minutes sometimes.
I've got a theory as well in the NRL. I might have told you with this one as well. When it's a try, they should put up try. And then when it's not a try, they should put up nice try.
That's actually really lame, Calvin.
Well, hang on. What if it's a good try? Like he does a really good effort, it's like an actual nice try, and they're complimenting him. Like that's a nice try.
That's confusing, but
well, you're confusing me, Cal, because any try is a nice try. Like, I get it.
What really annoys me is the different codes all have different sponsors as well for their.
Does the AFL have a sponsor for his video?
Drinkwise.
Oh, Drinkwise, yeah.
Which is a really responsible message.
I like the Blood Rule one. That's always a good
I don't really like the fast food outlets because it just makes you hungry.
Fair enough. I'm a bit worried about, speaking of fast food outlets in sport, I'm a bit worried about the future of Red Rooster, given the Red Rooster has been such an important part of the MCC.
Yes. It was a privilege, wasn't it, being a member of the MCC, being able to get Red Rooster chips.
You remember, MCC member?
No, I think I might have just got off the waiting list when I was around 19. But I've never really been since after I was 19. I've been playing, so
fair enough.
But yeah, it's a rest in peace Red Rooster type setup. I would have thought.
Fingers crossed,
that's all we can do. That's all we can do.
And it's great to have Macca's on board as the official family friendly restaurant of the AFL.
Love a Macca's. What's your Macca's go to, Tomo?
Just a Big Mac.
Just a Big Mac. Angus?
Can't go too wrong with the Big Mac. I honestly don't have it as much. I like
that really doesn't surprise me.
I like a nice, nice
because you get like your cheat meal after a game sort of thing, don't you?
So yeah, I'm not spending any money on this podcast, so we can probably stop talking.
Macca's. I like a nice grilled burger.
Are they a sponsor of your club?
No, there's just one in Ackland Street right grilled, now, next to.
Do you have a restaurant sponsor? Sorry.
You go to Ackland Street one on the way home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's an nice, it's right next to the Woolworths, so I can sort of...
Next to the vineyard.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of slide in there and damage.
Let's go on the roller coaster at...
I do that every time on the way home as well.
Have you ever been on that?
Yes. We used to do our family days there. I was put on the scenic railway thing, which was cool for the first minute, and then once my knees started rattling up against the front because I'm not a 5-year-old child and I didn't fit on the rides, it lost its appeal pretty quickly.
Fair enough.
Luna Park, good place.
Now, the state of the game has been...
That was on the rundown, yeah, Luna Park.
The Luna Park, yeah, we've done a lot of stuff that's not on the rundown today. The state of the game has been a big story over the course of the past... week.
Overblown.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, I agree, completely.
Well, it's not great if we all agree, but we all agree.
I don't agree.
No, it's fine.
I don't agree that it's not great that we all agree.
No, but whatever. It hasn't been good. Like, it's a waste of everyone's time. It's people filling space in the media. I'm probably guilty of it. But by the same token, everyone loved the game on Sunday night.
Yeah, well, I was... stuck at a pretty ordinary one, actually. No offence, the Melbourne St Kilda game wasn't the best and most attractive game.
No, you're getting paid to be there, so calm down.
Well, I was working, yes. Yeah. But
you do get paid to work, I believe.
Do I? look, a lot of games involving the Saints aren't good to watch at the moment because the skill level just isn't there and you guys are way too good for them. So I only still caught the end of the Brisbane Collingwood game, but really exciting. Yeah,
it's a shootout.
And
37 goals.
Shootout, young players playing really well. Stevenson was outstanding towards the end. Mason Cox played well.
Most goals we've seen this season. Everyone loved it.
And everyone was sort of, you know what everyone loved as well? The Lions taking up to the Pies. Because if you're not a Collingwood supporter, I think most people would have sort of wanted the Lions to get up. So everyone was sort of barracking for that other team.
So everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. Except for the coach of the Collingwood Football Club.
Can't say that it was pleasant viewing from our perspective. I mean, it was a high-scoring shootout. Ultimately, there was high scores from stoppage. It was high from turnover. That's the worst we've defended all year. But we were able to show enough pluck to get the job done, ultimately. But there's a lot that we'll have a look at there that we won't like on tape. But we get the 4 points and the lesson, which is a good problem to have.
And therein lies the problem with the state of the game conversation. Nathan Buckley speaking in the minutes after the game.
There's a fair disconnect between what the coaches think is a good game and what we think is a good game. I think that's if that doesn't show it clearly, then nothing else will.
100%. I think defence and offence are both equally as important. And if you're doing defence well, then you're not going to have big shootouts every week. But you know, then there'll be weeks when your offence is on top and you do get it. And that's just the beauty of the game of footy.
Do you like tight games or just high scoring ones that might blow out towards the end?
I don't mind too much if they blow. I mean, everyone enjoys a tight game.
Yeah.
I don't mind if games blow out too much.
But like, they don't always enjoy a tight game. I worked a draw a couple of weeks ago, and people now just remember
that
as a draw.
Tight.
People just remember that as a draw. That was a shocking game between GWS and St Kilda. It was terrible. And
the last 10 minutes were
exactly. But the last rowdy. 10 minutes, yeah. But it took 100 minutes to get there, and that was pretty close throughout the contest. But it wasn't a great game at all. The skill level was poor. It was actually pretty congested. Mm. But from what we hear about and what you guys watched of the Collingwood Brisbane game, that was up and back and fast and skillful.
It was great.
And open.
But listen to Bucks. I mean, I think Bucks is. I reckon Bucks is one of the best coaches going around personally because I like the way he's so honest in the media.
Yeah.
And he was being honest there.
Yep.
But wow, I was stunned by that. Like, they've just won an amazing game, in my view, and he's just looking straight at the negatives, straight at their defensive performance.
Is he speaking to his players through that?
I reckon. But what about your fans? Collingwood fans kind of deserve to enjoy that win, don't they?
Do you guys... Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys go back and ever watch what Simon Goodwin says in his press conference? Would you be interested?
No,
do you care?
Not as much. We more sort of... I know you get... A lot of blokes disconnect straight after the game and go do their own things and try and re-engage into, life outside of footy, whether it's hanging out with your family or your mates or doing something like that, and then sort of resetting when you come back in for the match review. That's when, and Goody's got, runs the match review, so we sort of listen to what he says then as opposed to the stuff he says after the game.
Speaking of disconnecting and sort of catching up with your friends and that sort of thing, what did you think of Ross Lyon's comments about, I guess a travelling young side, and when they get to Victoria, they catch up with their player manager, they catch up with their friends, they catch up with maybe their girlfriend, their mum, and that sort of all of a sudden saps their energy and is something that they'll have to look at. What do you think of that, Tom?
Well, is this Ross Lyon who famously, an exam someone was trying to sit at St Kilda and he wouldn't let them go and sit it?
doesn't ring a bell.
I mean, football is... Ross seems to have
Sort of quoted him directly.
Yeah, I hope you have too. But Ross seems to have this environment where we all live in the big bubble.
Yeah.
And no one's allowed out of it. It's a little bit... are you right there, Cal? Cal's got him.
Yeah, so I'm just double-checking the quote.
Oh, right. but it's...
Surely that's fair enough, though. In any circumstance, if a team's travelling from interstate and let's say it's...
But you've
Andrew
got a lot
Brayshaw,
of downtime too. What are you meant to be doing?
Well, you can't spend all... If you go interstate... To Adelaide, you don't spend all day on Friday just thinking about the game.
In your hotel room?
Like, you drive yourself a little bit nuts.
Yeah, you just hang out and try and... Some blokes like to go for a walk and, just keep yourself... I think, and this is, again, just talking from personal experience, you just try and, not try and get caught up in the game, which you're going to be playing tomorrow.
Because you can have a lot of downtime, so you sometimes...
Here we go. Do you want the quote?
Yeah, give us the quote.
So... We've got to make sure that the expectation is when we're away from home, we perform. We don't want the comforts of home to be able to perform, Lyon said after the loss on the weekend. It's just starting to look a little bit like that. We'd like to address that during the week. Young players go back to Melbourne and see their plant manager, go and see their mum, go and see their grandma, go and see their girlfriend, see their mates for a coffee, and all of a sudden you've had 6 interactions when you could be relaxing and preparing for your footy. They wouldn't even realise that that is draining them. There are a lot of outputs they don't necessarily need. Sometimes you've got to trim it off and just focus. Our senior players will share those experiences.
Wow.
It's an interesting take.
I mean, I'm not an elite athlete, so I don't agree with that. I just think that...
I found that a little bit...
I think at some point, that's almost... This sounds ridiculously strong, but it's almost denying someone their human rights.
That's a strong way to look at it. But having said that, I mean, you know, I'm not from an interstate club. I play most of my games at home, but I've got family in Perth. When I go over there, I catch up with them and, you know, have a coffee and whatever.
So I
haven't really felt that affect me too much. But having said that, if you're doing it every week, does it add up or is there a cumulative effect? I'm probably not in the position to comment too hard.
There's
an argument to say that you might be better off for seeing your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I mean, elite athletes are human beings.
Yeah.
Might have to initiate a study to sort of see the effects, get West Coast to see their families when they come back and Fremantle to not, and then...
This is a question without notice, so this could draw a real blank, but is there any chance you were involved in a study the AFL did about draft age? Quizzed about that?
No, although my memory is probably not great. I can't. Not that I remember.
Are you still thinking about trying to get the draft age high?
No. I want the draft age to stay.
Yeah.
I think we've spoken about this at different times. Players like Angus came out of his draft year ready to go.
Mm.
But and whether he would have had another year of development and whether it actually would have actually helped him.
No, I agree.
I don't think would have in this case and in a lot of cases.
I think it's...
What is it, like 28, 29 of the top 35 picks from last year's draft have sort of already got a chance?
I think it's ageist.
Ageist?
If you start.
What?
Yeah. You can do everything else at 18. Why not play footy?
Yeah, you can vote. You can go to war. You can smoke.
Still play footy anyway, I guess.
Don't recommend smoking.
Don't smoke.
We do not condone smoking at all.
It's legal, though.
It is, unfortunately. Now... Burning question.
Host burning question once and then wants to take the seat.
No, burning question. You hosted burning question today. Yeah, tell us about it and tell us what the burning question was. This is your opportunity to plug your program.
Plug it away.
Tony Plugger Lockett. Yeah, the coach of the year was the question. Who has it been? And we had Mark McGowan on one side and he went with Brad Scott. And we had Jen Phelan on the other side and she went with...
Nathan Buckley,
I almost forgot there. Who would you guys choose?
Out of those two?
Adam
Simpson. I think
West
Coast have probably historically been known for their defence and the web, whatever it was called, and had probably didn't have huge expectations. But the West Coast games this year have all been super high scoring, I'm not sure exactly the stat, but they are right up the top in terms of score per game and... just look at different teams. So I think that what he's been able to do, and you spoke about integrating a lot of their young guys in and them all being able to play a role, I think it's hard to look past him.
I agree with that.
At the moment.
Who were some of the other options?
Dimmer's on top.
I was about to say Dimmer. So I think Dimmer, in a way, because the wheels haven't fallen off.
Yeah.
That was an unexpected premiership, like the Dogs was the year before, and there is absolutely no sign of any hangover there
at this stage.
And they're sober.
Well, that's good.
Stone cold sober.
That's good. And
for me, I actually think Clarko. I mean, we'll overlook how good Clarko is, but the Hawks are fourth, and I don't even think they're that good.
No,
really.
No, they're not. But I think I would vote with Angus. I think Adam Simpson is largely ignored because he's in WA.
And he actually came in this year under pressure, for that respect, it's probably to a little bit more credit.
So what's next week's burning question? Who is the coach most under pressure?
Who is the round so far host under pressure?
Oh, it's a bit harsh.
Gee whiz.
Well, it's a bit harsh on Kane.
So I set you up there, mate. Bit of an alley-oop. Hey, Angus, this week you going to the beach?
Yeah, so...
So last week, we obviously... Yeah. Maddie sort of got preempted it. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, very much so.
Going to Brisbane but playing the Suns.
Yep, so never played it.
The Gabba. You'll be able to go and check out their facilities.
Yeah, I'll do a thorough facility inspection. Come back to you guys with an in-detailed brief of what's going on there. But no, it's exciting. My older brother lives up in Brisbane, so he's in the army. So and he's heading off to Afghanistan later in the year. I'll be able to spend some quality time with him.
Make sure that's after the game, though, not before. You don't want to.
Yeah. Well, come on, Cal. That's a cheap shot. But, Mum and Dad are coming up as well. So Mum's got a massive spreadsheet of all the games that we all should potentially be playing. And she sort of saw this one early on and booked her plane tickets.
How have they gone in terms of sharing their watching duties?
Yeah. Sharing the love.
sharing the love, really good. So Dad's, my old man, runs the Coaches Association and tries to match up, you know, his responsibilities going over to the West Australian sort of coaching groups and even, you know, he went and saw Andrew play, I think, in South Australia on his debut.
Yep.
And so he's been matching all that stuff up, and Mum's a school teacher, so she sort of gets a lot of her work done, you know, watching-wise, on her school holidays, which have just gone by. So, yeah, Mum's meticulously organised. It's quite a feat, you should see. And she's got a little colour-coding system.
I was going to say, there'd be a highlighters.
Highlighters stuff, yeah. Galore. And this one, she sort of asterisked after I missed out the Brisbane game earlier in the year. She said, I want to get up for this one.
Yeah, so the pressure was on you to get back in the team.
Huge pressure. So,
well, she's allowed to go and watch Melbourne if he's not playing.
Well, she's she gets more angry than I do when I miss out. So I'm not sure if that'll be happening, but yeah. So I'll be up there, and I'll probably stay the night instead of flying back that night with the team, and get some quality time and maybe hit up a few beaches. What beaches do you recommend?
Well, I get down to Broadbeach.
Broadbeach,
Currawah, isn't it? Currawah Surf Club.
Yeah, the surf club.
I reckon we've got a story now. Everyone, all the reporters are going to be at the airport waiting for the D's to land back on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Angus won't get off the plane. And everyone like, where's Angus?
Do you reckon?
We've busted that myth.
But
now,
we'll know.
Yeah. So we hope you have another BOJ.
Just keep that to ourselves.
They'll be looking for you.
Yeah. Well, so do I. I hope I have another really good performance as well, just to show those reporters.
Have you got any Brownlow votes yet? Have you ever got a Brownlow vote?
No. I was watching the Brownlow last year with a couple of mates, and there was a huge build up to round 20. What was it when I returned and had a pretty good day in the helmet, and all eyes were on me, sort of thing. And I had this huge collision with Kobe Stephens, so that was the one I was sort of banking on, but got nothing. So,
this year,
well, yeah,
thank you, mate.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck.
Good on you, Gus.
In Queensland.
That's what it's all about.
Brownlow.
So, obviously,
what game have you got this week?
Oh, you're testing me.
Hey, you got one somewhere?
No, it's swapped. I'm on Sunday.
Oh, you're working on Mother's Day?
Yeah, well, I work every Sunday now, Tomo. So, Future Stars Channel 9, if anyone's keen to watch.
Oh my God. How many plugs can we get into the one podcast? All right, that's it. See ya.